what you had to tell us about believing and forgiving. Lord, how they work together in the life of a Christian. So, Lord, I just ask that you will remove me from this and let your word speak for itself. Lord, and I ask that the Holy Spirit will enter into this congregation, Lord, in a new way to open the hearts and minds of those that need to hear this lesson this morning, Lord, that need to experience not only belief, but the forgiveness they need in their lives and how they deal with their fellow Christians and fellow brothers and sisters. So, Lord, we turn it all over to you, and we thank you in advance for doing this for us. And in Jesus' most precious name, I pray this. Amen. Now, if I say the names Chang and Ng, does anybody know who I'm talking about? Have you ever seen Ripley's Believe It or Not? Who were Chang and Ng? Siamese twins. Now, for those that don't know, Siamese literally means from Siam. Do you remember Siam? Think Yul Brynner, okay? Etc., etc., etc. The King of Siam, right? It's now called Vietnam. A same country. Where Chang and Ng were two Siamese twins that were born in Vietnam today, but they moved to the south. They moved to North Carolina. And they were actually veterans of the Confederate Army, if you can believe it or not. And they're buried today in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Who knows where Mount Airy is? Mount Airy is what fictional Mount Pilot was in the Andy Griffith show. So Mount Airy is a real place, and they're buried in the cemetery there. Each one, even though they were joined at the abdomen and hip, each one had a wife, and they had seven children among them. Don't ask me to explain that, okay? With God, all things are possible. Let's just leave it at that. But after the war, now they weren't combat soldiers. They worked like in the quartermaster corps or something like that. They were helping with supplies and paperwork and stuff like that. After the war, they became stars in P.T. Barnum's sideshow. We all know who P.T. Barnum was, the greatest show on earth, the circus and all that stuff. Well, they made their living that way, but the point is they were always together. They were literally joined. They shared vital organs. They shared their heart. They shared their intestines, their stomach, the digestive tract. They shared everything. In fact, when the day came that one of them died, they knew that it was just a matter of hours. Chang, I believe, outlived Ng by like 6 hours. But when one died, the other knew that his time was coming. Folks, we're going to talk about belief and forgiveness this morning. They are conjoined. They are joined together. They share the same DNA. They share the same vitality in a Christian's life that, by example, we see with Siamese twins. Now, some people would say that these two are the most important traits of a disciple of Jesus Christ. First, belief, and then forgiveness. And you can make argument. A lot of people could say there's different things, but I believe that's very important. One, belief deals with our relationship with God. The second, forgiveness deals with our relationship with each other. Folks, you can't have one without the other. You can't deal just with God and never deal with people, because God puts you here to deal with people on His behalf. Now, some things only God can do, amen. But God uses people through their belief, their faith, their relationships with each other to influence people, to guide people, to help people, to perform miracles for people. We are His hands and feet in this world. Now, how do I know this? Well, belief and forgiveness are likewise joined at the spiritual hip, but Jesus addressed this directly in today's text. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Now, I'm kind of skipping ahead. Next week, we're going to talk about the triumphal entry in Palm Sunday and all that. That's in Mark 11 early. We're now in the later part of the verse of the chapter. Starting at verse 24 and reading through verse 26, Jesus speaking, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Belief. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Forgiveness. Notice they are joined by something. Prayer. And we'll get into that. When you pray, believe. And when you pray, forgive. They work hand in hand in a Christian's life. And sometimes it's difficult because, yes, we believe God, absolutely. But that thing about forgiveness, well, God, you don't know what so-and-so did. Yes, He does. How do you think you've reached the point in your life today? Because He knew and He helped you. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whatever it may be, God has got you to this point today. And He expects you to believe in Him. And believing in Him means trusting in Him and doing the things He's called you to do in this life. And if you cannot, you are not showing belief. Just like the man who went to Jesus when his son was possessed by the spirit that threw him into the fire and threw him into warming. Jesus said, with belief, with faith, all things are possible. And the man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Because we all always have that little bit of doubt in our heart and in our mind. Will God really keep His word? Will God do what He says? Yes, He will. You have to have the faith and the belief to understand that sometimes it's not going to be instantaneous. That sometimes you have to pray without ceasing in order not for God to do His work, but so that you will understand that your dependence is on Him. Your life is based in Him. Everything that you are is based in that belief system. So let's get in. Let's break it down. The first thing I want to say is that first verse, things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. That is one of the most abused verses in Scripture. Why is that? Because people think that's like rubbing a magic lamp and boom, Jesus is going to pop out like a genie. And anything you ask, you're going to get it. Folks, what you ask must be in His will. And what you ask must be in His word. And what you ask must be a sign of how you are in your heart. Let me give you an example. You got a neighbor. You can either ask God to bless him or you can ask God to take him out. Now, which one is God going to do? He's going to bless him if you really mean it. Folks, we have to be careful because we can't just say, well, I pray in Jesus' name, therefore God's going to do it for me. It's how you ask and the purpose that you ask it for. Remember, James tells us that a lot of times we don't have our prayers answered because we ask amiss. We ask it for our selfish desires. We ask it for, hey, look at me, look what God's done for me, instead of asking God to do His will through your life. That person that you ask to bless may be one of the most ornerous, prickly, not nice being around person that you know. But you know what? God loves them too. And how is that person going to see God unless they see Him through you? Not just words, but actions. Folks, those are the kind of things we need to look at. Prosperity preachers use that verse to control their crowds by attaching giving to them as a mark of true belief. If you will only give to this ministry, you're going to increase 100-fold. They take Scripture and they twist it. They pervert it. That's what perversion means. It means twisting into meaning something God did not intend it. Will God bless you? Yes, He will, if you do things His way. That's the key. We always want to do things our way. We always think we know better than God. We always think we've got the best ideas. We've got the best plans. All plans go astray unless they are founded and they are executed by God Almighty. It's like the old joke that the gamblers always pray. The Bible says that man makes all kind of plans and the lot is cast into the lap. But God controls the outcome. God makes the choices. We just follow Him in faithful obedience. Now, after Jesus entered Jerusalem, before His arrest, His trial, His crucifixion, and His resurrection, which we'll be talking about next Sunday and the next, we have the story of the withered fig tree in the first part of Mark 11. Remember, they've come into Jerusalem and then they go out and they're going out and Jesus comes across this fig tree and it's full of leaves. It's full of leaves. Now, it's not the season for figs. So He goes up to it and there's no figs. You know what? What did He say? He says, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Now why is that? Did Jesus just want to curse this tree just to curse it? No. The tree was full of leaves. It looked alive. It looked healthy, but it had no fruit. And what did Jesus teach them? He taught them that if someone has leaves, they show that they're faithful. They show this great religiosity, as we used to call it. They show, look, I'm better, I'm greater, I'm more faithful, I'm more this, but yet they have no fruit in their life. What's going to happen to it? They're going to wither and they're going to die. What kind of fruit do you show then? Belief and forgiveness. You believe in God and your forgiveness of your fellow man when they wrong you. But that's so hard. Yes, it is. God did not call us to a life of ease. He called us to a life of servanthood. And part of being a servant is obeying your master. And by obedience we believe, and by obedience we forgive. And we'll move past that now. Christ uses this teaching moment, but added another important point. It's good to ask something from God, but your heart better be right when you ask. A sure sign of a right heart is what? Forgiveness. Back to verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Folks, have you ever asked, but when you ask, well, if God wants to, He'll do it, but I'm not quite sure that He's going to do it for me. Is that believing? Is that being assured that your prayer is going to be answered? Now, God hears every prayer, but He answers according to His will with things that He sees that you cannot see. Let's break that verse up just a little bit. Jesus put no limit on what was to be asked. What things soever ye desire. What do you desire? Do you desire riches? Do you desire material possessions? Do you desire status? Do you desire power? That's greed, folks. That's selfishness. Is that in the heart of God? Is that what God calls His people to be? So what you desire should be what God desires. Love, mercy, forgiveness, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we talk about, wisdom, knowledge, all those things. Folks, that is what we should desire. It could mean anything. Now, we can take things. If we need a job and we ask God for a job, that's a good thing. If we need money to accomplish a task and we need it, we can ask God to provide it for us. That's a good thing. But if you ask God, give me $100,000 to go spend at the boat, I don't think He's going to answer that in the way that you think. You might sink the boat, or you might have a knock. Hi, I'm from the government. Let me see that receipt. Things like that can happen. In fact, that was a famous Twilight Zone episode. Well, a guy got every wish he asked, but there was always a catch. And that was one of them. He got $1 million, but then the IRS showed up. And all kind of things. I think there was another old literature tale called The Tale of the Monkey's Paw. Do y'all remember that, studying that in high school? Everything that they wished for to be granted, but there was always an evil attachment because they asked out of selfishness. They did not ask out of glorifying God. Now, we already covered the blessing or asking God to take out a neighbor. You must actually ask God, even though God already knows your request. The Bible tells us that God knows what's in our heart before we even ask it. The asking is not for God's benefit. The asking is for our benefit, so that we acknowledge our dependence upon Him. We acknowledge that He is the one who controls our life, controls our fate, as it were, controls all the things that we have. But I worked hard to get this. Okay, who gave you the ability to reason? Who gave you the ability to work? Folks, I'm thankful every day that God gave me the ability to stand up here. It was 1 year ago next Sunday that I had my stroke. 1 year ago, believe it or not. And it is only by God's grace that I stand before you today. There's still times that I call upon Him for strength, because there's times when I get dizzy going up a flight of stairs, or my voice starts trailing off and I start having problems speaking. God grants me the ability to continue doing what He has called me to do. So everything that I am or ever will be is totally dependent upon my Savior and upon my God. And I'm thankful. That prayer is an intimate communication with my Heavenly Father. We pray as His children, not as strangers. Some kid comes up to me on the sidewalk and he says, "Hey, can you lend me $5? Now, if I'm in a generous mood and I have an extra $5 in my pocket, which is quite rare, but still, if I have it, then I'll consider it if they're in bad state. But if my daughter says, "Dad, I need some money," or here lately, "Dad, I need the credit card," let me tell you something. She gets them little puppy eyes, start going, and it breaks my heart. And I know that it's my job. I am called to provide and to help her in growing up and doing the things she wants to do. You know what? I will give to her before I will give to a stranger. And God will give to His children before He gives to strangers who don't know Him. Now, He lets it rain on the just and the unjust, absolutely. And once we turn to Him in faith, then we become His children, and it instantly gets applied in our lives. But folks, If you don't know God and you ask Him something, why do you even expect Him to give you what you ask for if you do not know Him, if you have no faith in Him, if you deny His existence? That's so funny. I listen to atheists sometimes and they'll say, well, God never answered my prayer. Think about that for a second. You don't believe He exists and you're asking Him for something, you might as well go ask that cinder block out in the yard. It ain't going to work. But when you turn to Him in repentance and faith and believe in Him and believe that He hears your prayers and answers your prayers, then you will get the prayers as long as what you ask is in the will of God. William Carey, one of the great Baptist missionaries from ancient times, he went to India and his motto was, attempt great things from God, expect great things from God. That's why we need to expect when we ask. We need to have the faith saying, God, I'm going to ask this and I know You're going to give it to me. I'm willing to wait upon Your time, because it might be the next day, it might be the next month, it might be the next year, it might be the next decade. One of the things I prayed for when I was in high school, I wanted to be a pilot so bad. I mean, I drew airplanes, I put models together, I went to the airport to watch the airplanes, I did all that. But right here won't let you if you can't have 20/20 vision. But you know what? I prayed. And when I gave myself to God, God put a man in my path. His name was Gabe, and he was a pilot. And he took me and Shiny up flying one day, and he let me fly that little old Cessna 172. And that's where I come up this morning. That red button on the stick, found out it was a radio. I thought it was a missile launcher, you know, and I'm sitting there pressing that button, you know. But, you know, God fulfilled one of my dreams. I prayed when I was young that God would let me go to where my ancestors came from. And on a mission trip, I got to go to England where my ancestors came from. You see, but that was 20, 30 years after I prayed for it. Folks, God hears your prayers and He will answer your prayer in His time. As long as what you ask for is in His will. Folks, that is a hard thing for us to stand, because there's been times in my youth especially when I prayed for justice, when I prayed for vengeance, when I prayed that God would take care of somebody who was teasing me or picking on me or something like that. It's amazing that God let that person keep going. And years later, he came back to my hometown and I went and talked with him. I remember he was one of these guys in high school, he would take my own drumsticks and hit me in the head with it. Things like that. I mean, he was a mean tease, okay? He was a cruel person at that time. But I went to his house and I wanted to tell him that I forgive him. And I did, and he broke down in tears. His daddy had been the sheriff when I was growing up, and his daddy had passed and everything, and I went to not only give my condolences but tell him that I forgave him of everything. Folks, that was a hard thing to do. But he cried and he told me about his life. His life had been a mess after he had left and went to college and stuff. I'd been in the Navy, so I'd departed and everything. But you know what? It told me that God, not out of meanness, but God broke him down. He got that attitude out of him by humbling him. And he was gracious enough to let him understand that what God put him through was bringing him back to God. And he did bring him back to God. And the very fact I went to forgive him brought me closer to God too. Folks, believe and forgive. Now, the second part of that first verse, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Once again, we expect. We believe that God is not only capable of granting our requests, but is willing in His love to give us our desire. Now, if we love Him, we're going to desire what He wants. We will desire not just riches, but imagine if He gives us those riches and we spend it in His kingdom. We donate it to missionaries. We help churches. We help people who don't have. That is the thing that He wants us to spend material goods on. Yes, you can have enough to have your own house, to have your own car, to make, you know, buy your groceries, pay your bills, etc. That's perfectly understandable. But are you living in excess? What does excess generate? Excess generates a feeling of, I don't need God. I have all I need. I'm going to go build some barns. I got so much in my barns now, I'm going to go build some barns and put what's in there. You know what happened to that man? That very night, his soul was required of him. Be content with what God has given you, and when you're content, then you make your requests known. And they will be more forwarded toward the will of God than for selfish desire. Now let's move on to this next point in verse 25. But before we do that, how do we know if our heart and mind are in the right stance before God? When we can do as He does, when we can think like He thinks, when we can act like He acts. That's not possible, Brother Charles. I'm not a God. I'm not Jesus. No, but if you are a Christian, you have the mind and heart of Christ because He's living in you and He's living through you. And you can turn to Him anytime and ask Him, what do you want me to think? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to act? And He will tell you in no uncertain terms, because the minute you don't do what He says, you feel like a ton of bricks has just fell on top of you. But the minute you do what He says, guess what happens? You become light. You become blessed in a way that no one else can understand. Verse 25, and when ye stand praying, remember in 24 it says, when you pray. Again, continuing the prayer. And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. And your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Notice here, it's not just that you are forgiving the person that did wrong against you, that you have aught against. But your Father is forgiving you because you are forgiving others. You are doing what God has called you to do, to be merciful, to be loving, to be forgiving. Is it difficult? At times, extremely. There are times when you just want to roll people up like an old crushed piece of tinfoil, stick it under your tire, and run it over flat, pretending that's somebody's head. Folks, that is not what Christians are called to do. Christ forgave those who nailed Him to the cross. Christ would have forgiven Judas Iscariot if Judas had not taken matters into his own hand and hanged himself. Folks, Christ would have forgiven anybody. Think of the worst despot, the worst dictator, the worst whatever you can think of. If they would repent and believe in Christ, they would become a Christian. They would be receive forgiveness. Well, I don't like that because I think that person should pay a price. They should pay a penalty. We should have justice. We should have vengeance. Folks, I'm more willing to trust God's justice than my own. I am certainly glad I do not have divine power, because there would be a whole lot less people walking around on this earth, including myself. Folks, that's not the way Christ calls us to live our life here on earth. He calls us to be salt and to be light. You're in the darkness and your batteries go out on your flashlight. What happens? The first very thought that comes into your mind is usually something like, uh-oh, or fear, or some kind of doubt. Where am I going to get batteries? I hope this thing working. You know, you start smacking it upside your body and stuff. Sometimes it comes on and sometimes it doesn't. With the darkness in our lives, we do the same thing spiritually. When you can't see where you're going, you need light. We are the light. God calls it, Jesus is the light of the world. We are reflections of that light. People can see in the darkness because of the light of Christ reflecting on us. But if we have an unforgiving heart, we don't want them to see the light. We want them to end up in hell. Do you really want people to go to hell? Sometimes we say it flippantly. I've been known to get really angry and say that on occasion, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't really mean it, and I don't wish it on my worst enemy. Because what God is going to do in His justice then is so far beyond what I can even imagine. And it's going to last forever. We don't like to talk about that in church, but that's true. But when we're unforgiving, that's the attitude we have. Folks, if someone has done something to you, ask God and He will give you the ability to forgive them. Now, they may not even want it. Sometimes we think, oh, if they'll just come and ask forgiveness. How many times has that happened in your life? How many times has somebody that's wronged you come up to you? Now, maybe it has happened once or twice. It's happened with me once or twice. But I'm going to tell you what. Don't wait on it. Go to God immediately and tell Him that you forgive them. And God, please don't hold it against them. That's what Jesus said about those that were murdering Him. Believe me, Jesus was not only killed, He was murdered. Murder is killing for a selfish reason. The Jewish hierarchy, the Pharisees and the temple Sadducees and all the high priests, they wanted to kill Him to keep power. Remember the one, I think it was Caiaphas, that said, it's better that one man should die for the nation than we all perish. He wanted the Romans to kill Him because Jesus was causing a stir. And they were afraid they were going to lose their power. They were losing their followers. They'd already had problems with John, but Herod took care of John the Baptist. Now they just had to take care of this Jesus. And they started to plot against him. We'll cover that more next Sunday. But I'm going to tell you what. We need to believe that we're going to receive, and we need, when we pray, believe and forgive so that we can be forgiven. See, it's not just the one way. It's two way. Us to them, God to us, and then God to them also. So what does he say? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, as we pray, when we pray, when we make our requests known to God. That's in the first verse, or 24. Verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive. You are praying. It is active. When you pray, you forgive. Do you forgive someone every time you pray? Now, if you do the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer and you've memorized it, that's all you ever do, yeah, that's part of it. Forgive us our trespasses as we've forgiven those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Folks, it's part of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples with. Now, you don't have to memorize it. It's good to say it every now and then, but it's not something rote. Remember, the Bible says that the pagans, they're not going to be heard even though they repeat the same prayer over and over and over and over again. God wants what's in your heart. Now, if you use that as a guide, God bless you. But just saying one prayer over and over and over is not going to help you. It's not going to show your heart. It's only going to show that you're willing to participate in a ceremony. Brothers and sisters, forgive us to God. Forgive us our debts. We owe you, God. We can't repay it. Please forgive us. And likewise, let us forgive those that have incurred a debt to us. Let us forgive those who have trespassed against us, who have broken God's law in accordance with our relationship with us. Forgive those that we have against. And if we can do that by God's power, not our own, then we will be blessed and we will be forgiven. It's kind of strange that I would want to go to God and ask forgiveness for what I've done based on His teachings and not forgive those who have against me. Remember the unfaithful steward? One of them, there's a couple of them with unfaithful steward, a couple parables. Remember the king? He owed a lot of money to the king. And he went up to the king and he begged him because the king was going to throw him in prison and torture him and everything else. Oh, just give me some time. I'm going to pay it back. So the king in his mercy forgave him and set him free. And what's the first thing he did? He said, you don't even have to pay me back. First thing that steward did, he ran to a guy that owed him $5, basically, and said, you pay me now what you owe me. Grabbed him by his throat, threw him into prison. And when the prison guards found out that who had thrown him in there, they went straight to the king. Didn't you forgive this guy? Now look what he's doing. And what happened? The king called him back and said, why did you not forgive after I have forgiven you? Do you think for one moment you're going to stand before the very throne of God Almighty and say, God, thank you for forgiving me, but you have unforgiveness in your heart? It doesn't work that way. Now, Christ can forgive you of all sins, including unforgiveness. But once you are saved, once you receive that forgiveness, give that forgiveness. That's part of your belief. That's that Siamese twin thing. That's the working together. You believe in Christ. You believe in God. Therefore, you are willing to forgive with all your heart. Now, I had people tell me, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm never going to forget it. Folks, sometimes that is necessary, but that's not your heart. You are to be wise, but you're to be gentle at the same time. Wise as serpent, but gentle as dove. You don't let people abuse you. You don't let people hurt you over and over and over. You don't do that as a Christian. Okay? However, you do make the first effort. You do make the first push. You do plant the first seed. You forgive, and then you be careful. You sit back and you watch God do what He's going to do in that person's life. If the person never comes to Christ, you know what? He will have his reward. But you have your reward in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do as he says. Now, we need to understand some things about this, about the prayer. Since God will hear us, it is our natural habit for asking for our pain to be relieved. We're still talking about forgiveness. For us to be vindicated and to wish for justice on our behalf. Now, is that wrong in itself? No, it's not. It's not wrong to go ask God to relieve you of pain. It's not wrong to go ask God for you to be vindicated, especially if you're in the right. And it's not wrong to ask God to wish for justice on your behalf. That's not wrong. It's when you want vengeance. It's when you want death. It's when you want removal. It's when you want to call down fire from heaven. What did Jesus tell James and John when they said that? You don't know what spirit you're of. When you want to take on the role of executioner, that is the problem. That's unforgiveness. That's unbelief, because you're not believing what God just said. If you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. That doesn't preach very well among a lot of circles, but I'm going to tell you what, it's the gospel truth. Now, as we pray, we normally show our hearts and not God's. I'm talking about we're playing in our flesh. But to forgive is God's nature. It's God's desire. How do we know this? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When you come to repentance, you receive forgiveness. But part of repentance is asking God for forgiveness. When we do that, He forgives us. And we stand right before the throne of God in the blood of Jesus Christ, with Him as our counselor, with Him as our lawyer, as it were. He is the one that makes intercession for us day and night before the throne of God. And brothers and sisters, His word is what counts. His word is what counts. Moving on, what does God want us to do? Well, He tells us not only to forgive, but He says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you," Ephesians 4:32. Not only are we to be forgiving, we're to be tenderhearted. We're to be kind. We're to be what God is to us. Now, yes, God can be a God of wrath, but who does He show that wrath to? The unforgiving, the unrepentant, the unbelieving, those that reject the sacrifice that He sent through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, if you die without Christ, I'm sorry. That's it. You don't get a second chance. There is no great wheel of karma, and you end up coming back as a sheepdog. That doesn't work. Okay? What works is you be what God has called you to be right here, right now, in His power, under His authority, with His blessing. That's what we do as Christians. Another verse, Colossians 3:13, says this: "Forbearing one another." What does that mean? That means putting up with each other. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another." So not only do you put up with each other, you forgive one another. "If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do you." Even if someone is mad at you and quarreling against you and saying bad things about you. Folks, if you could be a pastor for 5 minutes trying to handle somebody who's being ornery, it would be an eye-opening experience. There are people this very week who have said bad things against me personally, against this church, against people in our congregation. But let me tell you what, I forgive them on my behalf for me. And I pray this church, if they're ever aware of it, will forgive them too, because they don't know what they're doing. And even if they do know what they're doing, God will take care of it. He will do it in His way and in His will. Brothers and sisters, do not let that kind of thing worry you. Why? Because the Bible tells us the very fact we are attacked or talked about or teased or whatever in a spiritual way means that we're doing the right thing. If you're not doing the right thing, the devil's not even going to worry with you. He's got other things to do. So if you're just going along, everything's fine, it's good. But if the devil is not coming after you in some way, it means that he isn't worried about you. Now, do you pray for peace and contentment and so things won't be up against you? Yes, you can do that. But your life must be lived in the truth of God's Word. Every minute of every day. Will you still get mad? Yeah. Will you still sin? Unfortunately, yeah. Will you still wish bad things? Sometimes, yes. Especially if you truly are being hurt by someone. Folks, that's a hard thing to deal with. That's a hard thing to understand. People that love us, that care for us, and do evil to us. Folks, that's a pain. But Jesus went through that pain. We mentioned Judas a while ago. Jesus loved Judas. He chose him to be one of His disciples. He was around when the miracles happened. He was around when Lazarus was raised from the dead. He knew who Jesus was. But yet Jesus betrayed him with a kiss. Even then, Jesus said, friend, do what you have to do. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't believe we're dealing with something as strong as Judas, but we do have instances in our lives where people have hurt us, stabbed us in the back, talked about us, made things difficult, stirred the pot, as we used to say in the South. But you know what? What is my job? My job is to give it to God. My job is to believe that He's going to do what He said. My job is to forgive that person who does that. My job is to move forward toward Jesus Christ every day, even in my pain. Folks, that was one of the things I spoke of God's miracle in my life a while back. That was one of the things I was so worried about when I was laid up in the hospital bed last year, whether I was going to be able to do what Jesus had called me to do anymore. And I prayed, and you guys prayed for me. My family prayed for me. And I had a sense of peace come over me one night as I was struggling with it, because the devil was tempting me sore. He was tempting me. You're not going to be able to speak again. You're not going to be able to walk again. You're never going to be able to sing again. I'm working on my singing, by the way. You're never going to be what you once were. So what? I don't want to be what I once was. I want to be what God has called me to be right now in this moment. And He calls me to believe and forgive. And brothers and sisters, if we all can do that, we will stand before God and He will separate the sheep from the goats, and we're going to be with the sheep. And we do all the things He called us to do. The goats, we can give them to a barbecue somewhere. God's going to take care of that. We don't have to worry about it. Thus, we are to forgive and be forgiven by God. It works hand in hand. Just like we talked about belief and forgiveness working, forgiving and being forgiven work hand in hand. God will not forgive you if your heart is so hard that you refuse to forgive someone else. That's hard for us to believe. It's hard for us to understand. Well, if I believe Christ, then I'm going to be forgiven. Yes, but believing Christ means you're going to be obedient to Christ. Not works. That's not what I'm saying, so don't mishear me. But part of what He tells us we must do is forgive others. Whoever that is. Your family member, your boss, your best friend from elementary school that said something too ugly at the class reunion, whatever it may be. We are to forgive them. And then move forward. We don't forgive and then just sit there waiting for something else to happen. We get up off our duffs, we pull up our boots, we pull on our socks, and we move forward where Christ has commanded us to go, unto all the world. That starts here. It starts in Jerusalem. It starts in Odessa. It moves out to Samaria. It moves out into Lafayette County. It moves out into Blue Springs. It moves out into Concordia, even into the city. It moves out and into the whole world. It moves into North America, and it does move into the whole world. Folks, we are to be a part of that, no matter the cost, because our fate is certain. Our seal of assurance is the Holy Spirit within our lives. That is given to us as an assurance that we belong to God Almighty. You feel bad when you do something bad? Good. That means God has got you by the throat and He's saying, you belong to me. Now, He doesn't hurt you like that. He just gets your attention. All right? Or you feel good about doing something good, that blessing that you've given to somebody, that's not selfishness. That's glorifying God that He's given you an opportunity to bless someone, and you've carried that out. You've been obedient, and you're now expecting God to hear your prayers and answer those prayers. Man, it's a good thing that we have Christ, because if all we had was each other, we'd be in a world of hurt. Because we all are human beings. We all have that doubt. We all have that fear. We all have that lust for what we call justice, but is vengeance in a different form. And we have the devil constantly whispering in our ear. Now, some people may say it's your own ego. It might be. But he's constantly, oh, you don't deserve this. Or, oh, this person's getting away with it. That's one of the biggest things we Christians have to be careful of. Hearing that, oh, they're getting away with it. You got to do something. I got to do something, or else he's going to get away with it. Let him. What did Jesus say that if, or maybe it was Paul, I think it was Jesus, if someone has something against you and you're arguing in the way, don't go to court with them. Settle it on the way. And if you have to, I think this Paul said this next part, if you have to be defrauded, then be defrauded. But I don't like that. So what? There's a lot of things I don't like. I don't like getting out of bed in the morning, jumping on those cold feet and hitting the floor. But you know what? You got to do it. You got to be obedient to God Almighty. You've got to be obedient to Jesus Christ. But I can't. Yes, you can if you will let the Holy Spirit guide you in everything you think, say, and do. And there will be a big surprise because God will bless you in ways unimaginable to you right now. I know I've harped on that for a while, but standing before the throne as children, praying as children, is an important thing. 1 John 5:14 says this, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that is Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him, that He'll answer our prayers." I want to forgive those who hurt me. I want to bless those that God brings across my path. I want to seize the opportunities that God gives me each day to not only preach His Word, but to share the Word, to share my life, to share the kindness and love that I have received from Him and from other Christians, brothers and sisters, that I can share them with other people. That little kid we talked about that had the $5 request, folks, I'm serious. How many times have y'all been down? Well, I don't know about here, but at the QT there where I buy gas in my neighborhood, just about every week there's somebody there that needs help with gas or something. Now, not to be taken advantage of, because sometimes, you know, you can tell, but if I ever have opportunity that I can help, I do help. Not for me, and I'm not saying that bragging. I'm saying that because I want to show that God gives all kinds of opportunities to share His mercy with people. Folks, take advantage when you recognize. Be on a mission trip. Put up flags. Cook breakfast even when nobody shows up. Do things, folks, that increase the kingdom. Do things that honor your Savior. And the main two things is believe and forgive. Verse 26, let me repeat this. "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." This is very simple. If you're not willing to forgive others, then we don't really know God. And if we don't really know God, how can we say we believe? We cannot be forgiven if we do not know God, if we do not forgive others. For our faith is not in God, but our own pain and anger. Think about that for a second. When you don't want to forgive somebody, it's because of your own pain and anger. Humanly, that's very understandable, right? Guess what? You're beyond human now. Part of you is seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Part of you is in the presence of God, even as we speak. And God's presence, the Holy Spirit, is in you. Therefore, you're able to work through that pain and that sorrow and do the things that He's called you to do. Belief means trusting in Him, His judgment, His mercy, His will. We may not like it as men and women, but if God chooses to forgive someone who hurts us, that person that truly repents and loves God, then we must accept that it's His will for God to save that person too. I had someone in my family very close to me, not my family here, but extended family. It said out loud one day, "Well, if that person is going to heaven, I don't even want to be there." Think about what you just said. You've not only condemned that other person, you've condemned yourself. Folks, be careful with that spirit. That is a lying, thieving spirit that wants to steal your heart away from God and put it right back where it was. Now, if you're really saved, He's not going to accomplish that. God, in His mercy, will make a way for you. That's the truth, and we need to understand that. But if God saves a person that we've forgiven, even though how bad they hurt us, folks, that is a miracle. It is a wonderful thing. I had a man one time that I knew that had his child abused by one of his cousins or something. Folks, that's to us, that's like right up there with the unforgivable sin. I understand that. But that man struggled because he was a deacon in his church. And he struggled. I know I need to forgive him, but right now I just can't. And my grandpa was like, "Just pray. Give it to God. And at His timing, you will be able to." And it was 5 years later. But in a church service, that man who had done that evil thing went up and gave his life to Christ. And my cousin went up to him and hugged him right there in front of everybody. And he said, "I've been praying for you these whole years that God would not only forgive you, but reveal to you the truth." And He did. God answers prayer, even those kind of prayers. So if you have problems forgiving, pray. And He will give you the ability. Maybe not in that moment, but eventually. He will show you the truth of forgiveness. Belief means trusting Him. Unbelief means not trusting Him. Now, how do I apply all what I said today? Almost got emotional there for a second. But let me tell you. Number one, ask God for whatever your heart's desire. And my desire is that God will give me the ability to be His disciple here on earth, His servant, His obedient servant, forgiving, loving, working whatever He calls me to do. Putting up with ornery people, that's one of them. I understand that. You know what? I'm willing to do it. I pray you are too, because preachers can get ornery also. Some of y'all know that because I see your heads going up and down. Yep. But I'm telling you what, forgive and move forward. Not move back, move forward. Go where God has called you to be, in relationships as well as physical places. Number two, actively pray with an open heart, telling Him your innermost wishes. If they are not of Him, He will let you know. If you feel ashamed when asking, you might be asking amiss, as we talked about earlier. If you say, God, I don't really know if I should ask for you for this, at that moment, don't. He will reveal to you in time whether you should or not. Always keep it in the back of your head. Folks, there's a Bible verse that says, pray without ceasing. Does that mean I sit in my chair, cover up with a shawl, turn on the air conditioner? I almost said heater, but you know, in that time of year. And sit there and mumble prayers from now until I pass out from lack of food? No. But it means I keep an open communication line with God in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, at all times, listening as well as talking. And God uses that conduit to let the Holy Spirit relay those messages between the throne of God and my heart. And He can do the same for you if you're willing to ask Him. And if you don't think something is right, wait. But if you think it's right and it goes against the Word of God, then you know automatically, don't even ask it. Okay? Don't even bother. Because God is not going to do something against His will. If you're asking for vengeance on somebody, if you're asking, you know, to go in at the boat, I'm being silly here, I understand that. But if you're asking for things that are not in His will, He's not going to grant that. You can ask Him and He will hear you, but He's going to say no. And remember the old saying, God's three answers, yes, no, and wait. Wait's the one we have the problem with. We don't like no, but we can understand it. Wait is the one we have problems with, and I'll preach about that at some other time. The last application, share the answers that we get from God with our brothers and sisters who are also spilling their hearts before the throne. Folks, we're in this together. Look out at the world. Look at what's going on all across the world. Look what's going on in Kansas City. Look what's going on in St. Louis. Look what's going on in Springfield, wherever it may be. Look at the sin and the corruption and the evilness that surround us all. No one cares what happens to the children of God if they are not a child of God. But since we are to care, we are to pray, we're to believe, we're to forgive, and we're to pray. And pray without ceasing, making our petitions known before the throne of God through and by the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Folks, there's a reason that He went to the cross. There's a reason that He had that Last Supper. And folks, I do want to tell you, next Sunday we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I ask you, examine your hearts. Make sure that things between you or God are in a good place, because the Bible tells us that if you're not in a good place and you take, it could be dangerous for you. That's just superstition. That's the Word of God. And it may take a while. Adam received death once he sinned, but it took him another 900-something years to die. You think about that, physically. But he was dying the minute he disobeyed God. When we disobey, we roll the dice. And remember, we said earlier that the lot may be cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. And if you're being disobedient, you're first going to lose blessing. And if you're flagrant about it, you might lose your witness and then even possibly your life. That doesn't mean God's going to throw a lightning bolt and zap you. But it does mean that you're going to lose your life in Christ. Not salvation, what you're living in right now. You're going to lose the blessing, you're going to lose the influence, you're going to lose the Holy Spirit's guidance. You know, there's sometimes God withdraws His hand of protection from you when you're disobedient. And then you face the consequences of your choices. Folks, I don't want to face the consequences of my choices. You know what they are? You know what the consequences of my sin are? Death, eternal hell-bound death. I do not want to face those consequences. I want to serve He who died for me, who loved me while I was still a sinner. And that's what we're to love other people like. even though they're sinners, we're to love them, we're to pray for them, we're to ask God to intervene in their life, like my cousin did with the child molester. He must ask God to forgive this person, but also to give us the strength and the ability to forgive that person. And if we do that, then we can share the answers with our brothers and sisters who are likewise struggling. How many of y'all have prayed with somebody who's really struggling through something? I think most of us older people have. And if you haven't, you will. People are going to come to you. When they realize you're a Christian, they're going to not only ask you for prayer, but they're going to share their hearts. That's one of the greatest gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ability to listen. And not only listen, but to proclaim the love of God through the pain that they have, that they may see that God is for them and not against them, because they are for Him and not against Him. So all that being said, brothers and sisters, ask God whatever your heart desires. Believe that you will receive it, and you will receive it. And as you're doing that, forgive others so that you can be forgiven also. And that's the sermon in a nutshell this morning. Brothers and sisters, thank you for listening this morning. Please, after we have our invitation, I do want to remind us that we got a quick business reading. So when I say please be seated, we'll carry on from there. Brother Allen, since you're moderator, are you going to take over at that point? All right. Praise team.